ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are reciting text number 41-42.
Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam. He Krishna he Yadava he Sakheti. Adanata mahimanam tavedam. Maya pramadat pranayena vapi. Yachavaha sartam asatkritosi. Viharashayatana bhojaneshu. Yekotavapyachutatat samaksham. Tatkshamaye tvamahamappameyam.
Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you. O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O Infallible One, please excuse me for all those offenses. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Arjuna remembers his friendly relationship with Krishna and is therefore asking pardon and requesting Krishna to excuse him for the many informal gestures which arise out of friendship. He is admitting that formerly he did not know that Krishna could assume such a universal form, although Krishna explained it as his intimate friend. Arjuna did not know how many times he may have dishonored Krishna by addressing him, "O my friend, O Krishna, O Yadava," without acknowledging his opulence. But Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten, as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. So here Arjuna, after seeing the universal form, is offering obeisances from all directions and reciting many verses glorifying Krishna's supremacy. And he is overpowered by Aishwarya, Bhav. He is now regretting for the informal gestures that he showed Krishna. Krishna and Arjuna have lived as friends, especially in their young age. In many, many pastimes we come to see how Lord Krishna considered Arjuna as one of his most intimate friends. There are many occasions we will read where Krishna and Arjuna have always been together. And Krishna had a very specific, special relationship with Arjuna. Although Krishna loved all the Pandavas, first of all, the Pandavas themselves were very dear to Krishna, all of them. Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva. Lord really loved them from his heart. We will see that when the Lord was leaving and returning to Dwarka. I'll just read one verse from here. We'll see. Which talks about the Lord's intimacy with the Pandavas. Dwarka, his own kingdom, after the battle of Kurukshetra and Yudhishthira's being enthroned. But to oblige the request of Maharaj Yudhishthira and to show special mercy to Bhishma Dev, Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapur, the capital of the Pandavas. So Krishna was about to leave and everything was planned, and he boarded the chariot and Kunti came and offered so many prayers to him. Kunti said that you are leaving us. When we were in trouble, you are with us. Now that you have enthroned Yudhishthira, you want to leave us and go away. So that's the time she says, it's better for us to have all the time trouble, so you are always with us. So in the same day, Yudhishthira and the other Pandavas, they were actually going with the Lord up to the frontiers, and they could not leave him. They could not bear the separation from him. So the Lord said, okay, I'll stay for some more days. So he came back and he stayed. So he didn't proceed. After permission to depart, this is after some time, and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. Prabhupada writes here, Maharaj Yudhishthira was the elder cousin of Lord Krishna, and therefore while departing from him, the Lord bowed down at the king's feet. The king embraced him as a younger brother, although the king knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord takes pleasure when some of his devotees accept him as less important in terms of love. No one is greater than or equal to the Lord, but he takes pleasure in being treated as younger than his devotees. These are all transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot enter into the supernatural roles played by the devotee of the Lord. So, Bhima and Arjuna embraced the Lord because they were of same age. But Nakula and Sahadeva bowed down before the Lord because they were younger than him. So in this way, we find the Lord perfectly following all the etiquettes, the codes of conduct that a common man would follow when he was dealing with the Pandavas. So Lord dealt with them just like a brother. A brother would deal with Yudhishthira or with Arjuna. And amongst all of them, Arjuna was very dear to the Lord. Sometimes people ask, why did Lord give the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Why not to Yudhishthira or why not to Bhima? So Lord had a very special intimate relationship with Arjuna. So he chose Arjuna to be the recipient of Bhagavad Gita. And you will find, although the Lord is always with Pandavas, as it is explained in this future verse here, this is a very nice verse. This verse specifically explains about Lord's intimacy with Pandavas. Satsangan muktadusango hatum no sahate buddha kirtyamanam jashoyasya sagrada karanya rochanam tasminasya diha partha saheran viraham katham darshanas parsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanehi. Similar things explained here. Shayan asana bhojane, he means shayan, asan, bhojane, while dining, while sitting, while shayan means while sleeping, darshanas parshasam lapa. The intelligent people who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation? For they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. So, in this way, the closeness of the Pandavas with the Lord is explained in this verse. This is in this chapter of departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. This is, I think, first canto, 10th chapter, 11th verse. 1, 10, 11. So, Lord used to sit with them, joke with them, converse with them, walk with them, and sleep with them. So, just as anybody's brother or friend would do, the Lord was doing all this. In fact, many a times, although the Lord was with the Pandavas, Lord would sometimes take Arjuna and go with him all alone. They both would enter the forest. Like once, they went into the Kandavaprastha forest. And when they were sitting, it was a thick forest. And there was an ivory bench in which Lord and Arjuna were sitting and joking and conversing. All of a sudden, a very tall personality, a tall and grave-looking personality, whose eyes were very broad and whose chest was very broad, he appeared there. He comes and gives many gifts to Krishna and Arjuna. He is the one who gives Kamodiki and Sudarshan Chakra to Krishna, and he gives Arjuna also some gifts. But then he bows down to Krishna and Arjuna and he begs Krishna Arjuna that, "I have a request from you. I am a Brahmin. Can you please kindly fulfill my request?" The Lord says, any boon you want, you ask, we will give you. And he glorifies Krishna Arjuna in so many ways. And then he asks that, "I am very hungry, can you feed me?" And they say, "What is the problem? What do you want? Tell us, we will feed you." He says, "I want this whole Kandavaprastha forest to consume." He says, "I am Agnidev." Then the Lord says, "You are Agnidev, then you consume it. Why do you ask us? Agni is capable of consuming." Then he says, "No, I have tried it several times. Every time I try to consume this forest, my efforts have been always thwarted by Indra, by the shower of rains. Because in this forest lives his close friend, Takshaka, along with his family members, with his wife and son. So because of that, whenever I try to consume this forest, then Indra showers rain and stops me from doing so. Unfortunately, I am suffering from indigestion now," he said. Even Lord Agni had indigestion. So it is no surprise that we tiny living beings have indigestion problem. And he explained, there was one Shvetaki Raja long ago who performed great sacrifices. In that he poured excessive ghee, tons and tons of ghee, owing to which the fire which consumed that, he said, "Agnidev said, I got indigestion due to that." "So I want to consume the herbs in this forest of Kandavaprastha. There are many herbs which will cure the indigestion. But then every time I try to burn this forest, then Indra stops me." Then the Lord said, Krishna Arjuna said, "Don't worry, we will take care of that. Indra cannot do anything, you go ahead." And the fire started consuming the forest. As soon as Agni started, immediately Indra became alert. Then the forest was, from the circumference, the Agni started consuming. Then Indra started immediately showering rains. At that time, it is said Arjuna made such a formation of arrows that not a drop of water could come into the forest. Such a thick formation of arrows he made over the forest. But then how he did that? Krishna and Arjuna went in the chariot. It is said they would go even beyond the speed of mind when they were going around the forest. Anybody who saw, they saw Krishna and Arjuna at every point they saw them. Nobody could say where Krishna and Arjuna is. They were going so fast. And Arjuna was constantly sending arrows one after another so that not a drop of water can enter the forest. At the time, Takshaka was out of station. He was not there. But Takshaka's family was there, his wife and son. And they were flying in the sky. And Arjuna shot arrows. Actually, there were many, many animals came out. All these animals were actually sinful demons in the past who had taken the body of animals living in the forest. So Arjuna took this opportunity to kill all of them by sending arrows to them. Some of them were actually set ablaze in the forest itself. Like that. So the pastime goes on. But we see how Krishna and Arjuna jointly used to perform. They had joint ventures together, many projects together. And Krishna derived great joy being with Arjuna doing these activities. Always. Like you find once when Krishna and Arjuna were sitting together and talking, one Brahman comes and falls at Krishna's feet, Arjuna's feet, and says that, you know, "I have lost my 9 sons, and every time a son is born, he dies." Then Krishna and Arjuna, they proceed to the region beyond Brahman. They go to the Vaikuntha, where Lord Vishnu is residing. And Vishnu had kept those children. And actually Vishnu had hidden them because he wanted to take darshan of Krishna. When Krishna went, he felt so happy. He said, "My dear Lord, I have brought the children only so that only you can come here to take them back. Nobody else can do this." So there also Krishna and Arjuna, they go together. Like that. Not only with respect to performing such feats, such heroic deeds, was Lord accompanying Arjuna, even otherwise, even in Arjuna's romantic affairs, Lord Krishna had a role to play. So once Krishna had told, made an announcement that in Prabhasa there is going to be a big fair, let's all go there. He told Balram and Subhadra, they were all planning to go. And when they all went to the Prabhasa Kshetra, there were many, many things, wonderful things to see there. And one of the things they saw was an ascetic, sitting with a beard in the attire of an ascetic sage. So Balram was especially attracted to him when he saw Balram. And Balram requested him, "Can you come to my house? I would like to offer you prasad." The ascetic at once agreed. He said, "I'll come and stay in your house for some days." So he came and he used to take prasad in his house. And Subhadra was there. And Subhadra was asking the ascetic, "Do you know about Arjuna?" Because she had heard about Arjuna before very much. And she had even expressed to Krishna that, "If I marry, I would like to marry Arjuna. He is such a great hero." So she had expressed the interest. So she asked this ascetic, "You must be all knowing. You know about Arjuna, where is he and who is he, everything." Then later on the ascetic secretly revealed to her that, "I am none other than Arjuna. I am myself Arjuna, I have come in the form of an ascetic." So Balram was transcendently unaware of this personality, who he is. So, of course, if the Lord wants to pretend, he doesn't know, he can do that very much. Otherwise, where is the pastime? If he knows everything all the time. So, Balram was serving prasad nicely. One day, this ascetic eloped with a girl, Subhadra. And Balram became wild. You know, when Balram becomes angry, nobody can control him except Krishna. So, Krishna is so intelligent, especially with respect to dealing with such situations. He immediately fell at the feet of Balram and pacified him and told him that even Subhadra wants to marry him. What's wrong? Subhadra has expressed her heart already. He should actually bless them instead of becoming angry with them. And then Balram became cool after that. So in this way, actually it was Krishna only who had given idea to Arjuna. Krishna only told him that you should come like this, like an ascetic, to the house, and Balram will feed you, and then I'll make a suitable arrangement to get Subhadra, because Balram was planning to get her married to Duryodhana. So you may wonder, how is it that Balram is expansion of Krishna? How one expansion of Krishna can have a different idea other than Krishna? In this world, there is something called a split personality. You heard of split personality? A person having two different views, contradictory views in the same person. That originates from Krishna Balaram. So Lord can also show a split personality. But the beauty of split personality is that the contradictions are easily resolved between them. Although they may show some apparent contradiction. For the sake of increasing the enjoyment of his devotees, the Lord performs such pastimes, transcendental pastimes. So in this way, Krishna and Arjuna, they always used to spend a lot of time together like that. And Lord pacifies Arjuna in many, many situations when Arjuna becomes, you will find in the Kurukshetra war also, when Yaravan was killed, Yaravan is the son of Ulupi, that is born through Arjuna. So when Yaravan was killed, Arjuna had totally got broken down. So he was sitting very, very morose, and Krishna told him, "What are you doing like this? How can you be like this? You are sitting in the tent and being so morose. What about the war? What about tomorrow's war? If you become broken hearted like this, you will never win." So again he told him, "Rise to your duty." So he encouraged Arjuna. So Krishna was always a very intimate friend of Arjuna, encouraging him, and he volunteered to ride the chariot for Arjuna also in the Kurukshetra battlefield. You see. In fact, actually Krishna doesn't volunteer, Arjuna makes the request. In that pastime when Arjuna and Duryodhana go to meet Krishna in Dwaraka, after Arjuna chooses Krishna and Duryodhana takes the Narayana Sena and goes away, in that conversation it comes, Arjuna is telling Krishna, wherever you are, that side will achieve all victory. So may I request you, Krishna, to become a charioteer? Now somebody may ask, how can somebody order his friend to become a charioteer? So that is owing to his intimacy. That is why here he is regretting that in my intimacy I have called you Sakha, I accepted you as my charioteer. In that intimacy. And we have slept in the same bed, we have eaten together, we have played together, we have joked together. And I ordered you many times to do different things. So here he is saying that I never thought you can show such a big Vishwaroop. That's so frightening. So out of that intimacy. So Arjuna is one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. We find that Lord behaves as if he is an ordinary human being when it comes to his devotees. Because the Lord derives a great joy in being subordinate to his devotees. That is why he purposefully behaves as if he is an ordinary mortal, ordinary human being. Because the moment Lord shows his greatness, then that spontaneous love is finished. And immediately he will get millions of obeisances from his devotees, which he hates, which he does not like. Just see here, as soon as Krishna showed Vishwaroopa Darshan, Arjuna is going in east, west, north, south and offering million obeisances from all four directions. Lord does not like that kind of worship. Just as we all are persons and we are endowed with emotions and we like to exchange love with people, we like to give love to someone and accept love, Lord also is a person and he also wants to exchange love with his devotees. But then he finds that because he is the supreme controller, supreme master, the super soul of the universe, the father of all that be, the source of all creation, no living entity feels like dealing with him in an intimate way. All living entities better want to offer respects to him. You go to any religion in the world, generally God is treated as a big person. He is a great person and you are insignificant, you have to just bow down to him, respect him and extol his glories. That's all, nothing more than that. Many of them portray God as a person who is a chastiser of all offenses and sins, like that. So generally God is seen as a great master, the supreme, who is all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent, like that. But the real picture of God is this, where God is also a person endowed with emotions who would like to exchange love with his devotees in a very intimate way. And in order to accomplish that, what does the Lord do? He just puts up a show like an ordinary human being. When Vidura met Uddhava, we read in the third canto of Bhagavatam, I think second chapter again. There's a very interesting description about this. When Vidura meets Uddhava, he is requesting him, I heard that when Lord Krishna completed his pastimes in this world, wound up his pastimes, earthly pastimes, Prakatya Leela, and he ascended to his own abode. During those last few days, I came to know that you were with Krishna at that time. I would like to know, please tell me, what did he say? What was his instruction? So Uddhava begins speaking. Actually Uddhava, when he heard this question about Krishna, at once torrents of tears started coming to his eyes. And he became totally stunned in great ecstatic rapture. It is said when Uddhava was a small child, small boy, his mother would keep calling him for breakfast. Please come, breakfast is ready. But Uddhava would be so absorbed in playing with the dolls of Krishna. So he would offer bhoga to Krishna and he would dress the deities very beautifully. He would bring many nice lovers and offer him like that. And he would worship the deity very nicely. And his mother had to call him repeatedly again and again. He was so absorbed in that worship that he rejoiced in that worship that he even forgot to eat, it is said. And Uddhava was a small boy. He was very enthusiastic to worship Krishna, one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. And when he grew up, even after he became old, his body became slackened, still his love for Krishna never became slackened. That remained as fresh as it was before, or probably more. It was more and more enhanced. So this goes to show, while the material body decays and dwindles as we progress in our age, one's love for Krishna grows further and further, like a tree, you know, like a seed going into a plant and into a tree, producing flowers and producing fruits. In that way, love for Krishna grows more and more. In fact, when he grew up, his love for Krishna also grew up, and he would feel ecstatic rapture in his body. All the eight symptoms would manifest in his body, in Uddhava's body. And Lord loved Uddhava so much that he arranged his pastimes in such a way that when the Lord was about to leave this world, Uddhava was present with him. And Maitreya Muni happened to be passing by some Ajnata Sukriti in the same area. And he came to know that Lord Krishna is here. And he also went to meet Krishna. And he was leaning forward and hearing what Krishna is speaking with great attention. Although Maitreya Muni was looking at Krishna, Lord was facing towards Uddhava and speaking more. Because Maitreya Muni was Jnana Mishra Bhakta. His bhakti was mixed with speculative knowledge. But Uddhava was a pure devotee. So Lord loved Uddhava so much that he spoke very sweet words to him. And as soon as Vidura asked him this question, immediately Uddhava thought of those moments. And his tongue was touching the palate. He could not speak anything. Nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira pulakai nichitam vapukkada tavanama grhane bhavishyati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sings. So for a long time he was silent, remembering those past times, and his eyes were brimming with tears. And then he started slowly beginning to speak. So everything came in his mind, just like you see a flashback. Sometimes about your own life you see a flashback, what all happened in your life. In that way, Uddhava also saw a flashback of Krishna's life. He remembered everything that happened. He said, just look at this Lord. All his activities are so bewildering to the common man, and it causes pain to my heart, he said. Why he says it causes pain to my heart? Because the Lord portrays himself like an ordinary human being, and many people misunderstand him. So the Lord does not show himself to be God many a times. Common people think Krishna is an ordinary person. Or some people say he is an extraordinary person. Some people consider him a mystic yogi. Some people consider him a very great politician or a diplomat. But Uddhava said Krishna is God himself. But he portrays himself like an ordinary child. And how he related with each and everyone, that he recollected. He said, immediately after his birth, apparently out of fear for Kamsa, he fled to Braj, he fled to Vrindavan. He said, but actually why did Krishna go to Vrindavan? It is said when Krishna was born in the jail, along with Devaki and Vasudev, the great devotees of Krishna, they treated Krishna as their child. And Krishna observed, Vasudeva was very afraid of Krishna's safety. Devaki also was very much afraid of Krishna's safety. So they wanted to give Krishna protection. So they wanted to take him to some other place. So they're asking, do you want to take you to some other place? And then Lord told Vasudeva, okay, you take me to Gokul. Take me to Vrindavan. So here we find that generally people go to God and with folded palms they pray to him for protection. But Lord appreciates those devotees more who feel fear that Lord needs protection from them. Because they consider Lord to be their subordinate, a child who needs to be maintained by the parents. So this is a devotion in spontaneous love, which was exhibited by Devaki and Vasudev and later on Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, like that. So this kind of love that makes the Lord subordinate is greatly attractive to the Lord. So when Vasudeva and Devaki had that anxiety, Lord was so pleased by seeing their intense love for him. How much they are feeling anxiety for me. Actually there is no need to fear. There is absolutely no anxiety. Still, when they felt anxiety, Lord was feeling such joy. Sometimes Like you see some child, a father is playing with a child. Sometimes a child will imitate a gun, taking a gun. Father, I'm going to shoot you. You'll do that. And father will immediately, you know, fall on the ground, you know, with his hand like this. Ah! Oh, it's paining. And child will give a big laugh. You've seen that? Sometimes father does that, with the child. So sometimes he plays with child, or Omkar is laughing. See, he must be doing that. Isn't it? So, the child derives great joy as well as the father also, in that pastime. Similarly, who can cause any harm to Krishna? Can anybody kill Krishna? Krishna can never be killed by anybody. Nobody has conquered Krishna. Still, when a pure devotee, out of intense love, feels fear that my dear Krishna needs to be protected, that really is very pleasing to Krishna's heart. So he made the arrangement. He told Vasudev, okay, you take me there. Actually, Vasudev is the epitome of morality. He would never break any promise that he had made ever before. In fact, even a demon like Hiranyakashipu, even a demon like Kamsa had such faith in him. Actually, Kamsa was not ready to spare the life of Devaki. He was determined to cut off her head. At that time, Vasudev gave many good sermons, advice, shastric immersion, analysis of the soul and body. He said, you are not the soul, you are not the body, you are the soul. If you are the soul, you are going to die and take another body. Why do you worry about death? Every embodied being has to die one day and has to take birth again. But all that did not help. He was still determined to kill. Then he told him, Devaki is not the cause of your death. It's only her children, one of the sons of Devaki. And I promise you now that I will give all the children born to her to you. And when he heard those words of Vasudev, he thought, this Vasudev is so thoroughly honest that I can put faith in his words. Just see, even a demon can put faith in trust in a devotee. Devotee's integrity is so high. So he was giving all the children one by one. And all the children were killed by Kamsa also, one after another. So now this eighth son, Krishna is also supposed to be given. And Vasudev was determined that I'll never give this child to Kamsa. Now, a mundane moralist may think, how can Vasudev break such a promise that he made to Kamsa? Is it proper for a devotee to break promise? Some people may even say, I will rather fulfill my promise and die myself. But when it comes to Krishna, a pure devotee fulfills the Lord's desire. This is in mode of pure goodness. In goodness, we can be mundane moralists. But when one goes to pure goodness, then one's activities are in line with the Lord's desire. Whatever the Lord wants, a devotee will do. No matter what the world will say, he will never care. Like there are many examples in the Shastras to show this. Like Vibhishan, he left his brother Ravana and joined hands with Ram. There are many people, whenever a boy leaves home and joins uncle or aunt, sometimes people say, you are a drohi. You have done a great disservice to our home and you have joined with our enemy relatives. Every family has some enemies, isn't it? I believe many families have, isn't it? So sometimes family members, they consider somebody to be an enemy. Imagine that one of your children, they join with your enemy relatives. Then what do people say? See, this fellow has left us and he is, you know, having such a loving exchange with our relatives who are our enemies. They become very upset. So here, Vibhishan left Ravan and he went and joined hands with Ram. So anybody would naturally become angry. There are many Indians who think that Vibhishan was wrong in India. But actually, Vibhishan knew that his brother Ravana is on the wrong side. He wanted to take away Mother Sita, who is the eternal consort of Ram. And nobody can do this and still be alive. Because he was a great Ram Bhakta, Vibhishan. He understood that Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he joined hands with him. He said, I will even rather lay down my life at the feet of Ram, but I'll never join my brother. So this is pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. In Shuddha Sattva platform, one transcends the mundane morality. It's not that in Shuddha Sattva one has to necessarily, deliberately break the mundane moral principles. It's not necessary. But if there is a need of the situation, if the Lord demands something that requires you to transcend mundane moral principles, then one should be ready to do that. So in one of the classes like this, I asked some students that, say you are working in a company, you have exhausted 20 casual leaves and then 10 sick leaves, everything is over now, now finished, no more holidays. Especially devotees take such leaves and finish off the leaves very easily. So I asked this boy, now your owner of the company comes one day to you and says, you are so intelligent and you are so creative that the job that you did, you know, that has been appreciated by, you know, people in London, and they have, you know, sent us a reward, you know, so many lakhs of rupees to us. We have made profit. So we are very pleased with you. We want to give you 1 month off. So take 1 month off and take this money. We have got 1 lakh rupees gift for you. Take it. And you, you know, enjoy life. Come after 1 month. So the owner comes and tells you. So I ask the students. Okay, I will ask all of you also. Let me see what you would say. How many of you will go to your immediate boss to take permission? How many of you? Because the immediate boss is already angry with you. Isn't it? Why he is angry with you? All leaves are exhausted. So how many of you will go to the immediate boss and take permission? Is this a hand? 1, 2. There also in the class also only 2 people raised hand. 3, yeah?
Inform him.
So that he doesn't become wild on you later, So it seems that all others will go away, So this is the difference between mundane morality and supramundane morality. See, when your owner tells you, when your owner says, take off 1 month, you go. You don't have to worry at all. You can go. And owner will take care. Maybe you can tell the owner, you please tell my boss, he's an angry man. I have exhausted all my leave. You don't have to go and tell him. Directly go. Probably this example may not be a very good example, I think. That's why people have fear. Because people, in most of the places, people fear the immediate boss more than the owner. Owner hardly comes. He's a trouble giver, is he? Yeah. So, if the owner of the company is allowing you to go 1 month, although you don't deserve it, generally speaking, your holidays are over, you don't have to worry about anybody. One can go, because he is giving you permission. So, trying to go and meet your immediate boss and taking permission, or telling the owner that you may be a big owner, but still wait a minute. I'll check with my immediate boss and tell you whether I can accept your order or not. It is exactly like taking a candle and searching for the sun. Will anybody take a candle and search the sun? How foolish it is. So Krishna is the source of all religious principles. Whatever he says is dharma. Veda pranihito dharma. It is said. Adharmastat viparyah. And then he says, Veda narayano sakshat. All the religious principles are all enunciated by the Lord himself. When such a Lord comes and tells you the dharma, we should just follow it without any hesitation. Like Lord Krishna told Yudhishthira to tell a lie, that Ashwatthama died, but he hesitated. So that's like taking a candle and looking for the sun. One should never hesitate. When the Lord tells you to... So sometimes we may be overpowered by mundane moral principles, due to which we may not be able to transcend them and obey the Lord's instructions. Of course, Lord has given the scriptures and he will never ask anyone to tread the path of a religion. Lord doesn't derive any joy by seeing you following the path of a religion. But at times, Lord may give instruction that may appear to be a religion to our sight. Because we are short-sighted, we can't see. Whatever he says is for the ultimate welfare of everyone. So, now here the Lord gave instruction to Vasudev. He said, you take me to Gokulam. And immediately followed the instructions. Although it's apparently from the worldly viewpoint, it's breaking of trust. Isn't it? It's a betrayal of trust. Now if Kamsa comes to know, he will wonder, how can Vasudev behave like this? He just cannot believe that. So, generally speaking, we all should never tell lies or never break trust of anyone. But occasionally we are forced to tell transcendental lies. Like somebody comes and calls you for a movie, but he is a very close friend and you don't want to go. What will you do? Ramakrishna, you are a very honest man. What did you do? You got some appointment in the temple. He will say, you always have appointment in the temple. One day you come to movie. We know that you are going to temple all the time. You know. If you say it like that. It is from you. I wanted a different answer. Krishna Shubha, what would you do? Yeah? He says he would say headache. So, sometimes we are forced to tell lies. How many of you are forced to tell lies like this? Many? Oh, yeah. Good. So all of you have understood this theory now. For yatras. Yeah. As far as possible, we should not tell lies. But sometimes, we are forced to tell transcendental lies. Especially if you have to avoid maya. Huh? You don't want to avoid maya. If you, especially like, you know, somebody is offering you something to eat, you say, I would very much love to eat, but today I am doing upavas, what can I do? And then within your heart you may have to say, upavas from that which is not prasad. Yeah, I will not eat anything that is not prasad. So sometimes you can say, I am doing upavas, I won't eat anything. If they are giving you something with onion and garlic and, or some people force you to drink tea when you go to somebody's house. So which is not good for us. So, sometimes we are forced to tell transcendental lies, and Krishna will surely forgive us for that. Because the criteria based on which you can tell lies or tell truth is anukulyasa sankalpa, patikulyasa varjana. That which is favorable for Krishna consciousness, accepted. That which is unfavorable, rejected. Like that. So, ideally speaking, a devotee should be the top class moralist. But when one is ordered by the Lord, then there is no morality above the Lord's orders. One shouldn't consider one to be a greater moralist than the Lord. If you consider like that, then you are foolish. That's why it is said Yudhishthira's chariot always used to fly above the ground. But when he hesitated to obey the Lord's instruction, immediately it came to the ground. So, Vasudeva was such a devotee, he immediately obeyed. He was ready to take Krishna. So he took him on a basket, and as soon as the Lord gave that instruction, immediately, actually the whole jail was lit up with light when Krishna was born, and all the jail keepers, they were snoring, they had gone to sleep, and all Vasudeva's chain and Devaki's chain, it was all broken, everything was let loose, and the doors of the jail automatically opened, and then Vasudeva carrying Krishna, he came out. At the time there was heavy rains. There was thunder and lightning in the sky. There was flood everywhere. Yamuna was having such fierce waves. But still, the river gave way. Because who is being carried? Krishna is being carried. Like in Pune, if Prime Minister of India comes here, immediately they make all barricades and everything to make route for him, isn't it? Immediately they make separate way for him. In fact, all thousands of cars are stopped if one person has to go. Similarly, the Lord of the universe is now being carried. So naturally, the river parted and gave way. So when he was carrying like this, so Krishna was feeling great joy seeing this intimate gesture of Vasudeva. So in order to enhance Vasudeva's love, you know what the Lord did? Actually, Anantesh was giving protection from behind, covering the Lord's body from the rain and everything. But the Lord jumped off from the basket and fell into the Yamuna. Then Vasudeva realized, it appears that the child is not there. He saw the basket and there was no child. And he was put into tremendous acute transcendental anxiety. And he immediately dived into the water and searched Krishna, and he got him again. Again his life came back. So sometimes the Lord increases his devotee's love for him. Again he put him in the basket and very carefully carried him like this. So in this way, Krishna goes to Gokul. Externally people may say, Krishna ran away out of fear from Mathura. Out of fear, why? Because he was fearful of Kamsa. But Lord is not fearful of anybody. And Lord, after going to Vrindavan, we see how he spent his childhood, his boyhood, and his adolescent age. 11 years he spent. And then he returns to Mathura again to meet his mother and father. So when he returns back, he tells them, my dear mother and father, for so many years I did not do any service to you. You know, myself and Balaram, we have been away from home for such a long time. And they are seeking forgiveness by offering obeisances. Seeing this, Uddhava's heart is broken. Uddhava says, oh, it so much pains my heart to see the Lord behaving like this with his parents. He is bowing to the parents and saying, oh, my dear mother, oh, father, we have not done our duty towards you. Although Lord is supreme, and they are seeking forgiveness from the parents. So, actually, Lord is indirectly teaching all the living entities how grateful they should be to their eternal father. Eternal father and eternal mother, Radha and Krishna. That we have forgotten our actual mother and father and we are wandering in this world. Prabhupada writes this in the purport. How one should be grateful to one's mother and father, and Lord shows that by his behavior. So his behavior may make one feel that he is an ordinary son who behaves like that with respect to parents. And the parents perform all the rituals and all the rites. And Lord goes to the Sandipani Muni's ashram and he learns all the different kalas and different things. So he says, Lord Krishna is so great that millions of Brahmas come and with their helmets down on the ground they offer obeisances at his feet. And he is offering obeisances to his mother and father. Just see. In fact, he is the one who offers the moksha to even all the demons, like the king of Chedi, Shishupal. It is he who chopped off his head and offered him moksha. And all the people in the Kurukshetra battlefield also saw the beautiful lotus face of Krishna. And by simply glancing at his face, they all achieved perfect liberation. Such a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes to the Sabha of Ugrasena, there he says, sir, let it be known to you that this is the news that has come from the Praja, and he is submitting the news to him. So he is accepting Ugrasena as the king and is giving reports to him as if he is an ordinary minister or like ordinary messenger for him. So Uddhava says, when I think about all these things, I feel very pained how the materialistic people may consider Krishna to be an ordinary person, seeing this kind of pastimes. That is the time Uddhava says this one most famous verse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayadavyasadvi lebhe gatim datri muchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. He says, who can be more merciful than that Lord Sri Krishna, who gave the padavi of a datri or a nurse to that one demoness, Putana, who, smearing her breast with poison, came to kill him in the role of a mother. Then he narrates many of the pastimes in Vrindavan. Everything that happened in Vrindavan, he says, that in Vrindavan, how Krishna was serving Nanda Maharaj, how Krishna was being controlled by Mother Yashoda, controlled by all the gopis, elderly gopis, and how the Lord was playing like a child in the hands of the elderly gopis. And he narrates all the pastimes of Govardhan Leela, of Kalia, Mardhan, and all that. So one by one. So Prabhupada says that how a devotee can never be put to forgetfulness. The same point he mentions there. A devotee can never be put to forgetfulness about the Lord. So Uddhava was old in age, but all these pastimes were evergreen and fresh in his mind. He could not forget any of them, because the thoughts of the Lord are constantly going on in the mind of the devotee. That is the meaning of a devotee. Machitta madgata prana, as Krishna says, the thoughts of my devotees dwell in me, and their lives are fully devoted to me, he says. So he was remembering all the pastimes and narrating like this. And then he told Vidura that Maitreya was also present there, hearing, and he is very close to this place, and you better go and hear from him what instructions the Lord gave him. If I speak those things, then it will become Maryada Vatikram. It will be like offending a senior. Maitreya is senior in age to me, so better you approach Maitreya and ask the other things. And Vidura goes. And when the devotees think of the Lord and the Lord's dealing with them, then immediately a devotee's heart is shaken. A devotee's heart melts. When Vidura heard from Uddhava and Maitreya at the end, there is a verse which says, that the Lord, just before He left the world, He remembered you and He spoke of you and He was inquiring about you. When He heard these words, immediately Vidura gave a loud cry, closing both his eyes with both his arms, both his hands. Vidura wept bitterly, again and again beating on his chest. Oh Lord, remembered me, such a wretched soul at the time of living. Who can be more fortunate that Lord thought of me at the time of death, at the time of leaving this world? So in this way, the devotees keep remembering the Lord's pastimes that happened before with them and with others, and these are the thoughts that decorate the heart of a devotee. Due to which the devotee never feels any misery in this world at all, even if there are miseries. Sometimes we say devotee has no miseries. It's not that the devotee has no miseries. Devotee also has the same miseries as you and I have. But the difference is, he doesn't look at them. His whole attention is on the Lord's narrations, pastimes, like that. Although there may be enormous misery surrounding a devotee does not pay any attention to them. His whole attention is focused on the Lord's pastimes, like this. So Uddhava was a very great devotee, but Arjuna is even a greater devotee than Uddhava. Uddhava, we were narrating about Uddhava's love for Krishna. But Lord sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to learn from the gopis of Vrindavan and the parents, Yashoda and Ananda Maharaj, from them what kind of unalloyed love they had for Krishna. Because Uddhava was a student of Brihaspati, he was a very learned scholar. And of course, that doesn't diminish his love for Krishna. He was certainly a very great lover of Krishna. But still, the Lord thought it will serve a twin purpose. Uddhava can also send a message to the Vrijavasis, and the Vrijavasis will be happy that they got a message from the Lord. At the same time, Uddhava also will get to see such a unalloyed love that the devotees of Vrindavan are possessing. So superior to Uddhava is Arjuna, and superior to Arjuna is the Vrijavasis of Vrindavan, who are always in a mood of spontaneous love towards Krishna, like Shidama, Sudama, Madhumangala. They can never treat Krishna as God. You never see them treating Krishna as God at any time. They see Krishna only as a friend, only as a loving friend. In fact, when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, all these covered boys, they all started carrying sticks and trying to give support to the Govardhan Hill that any time it may fall. In fact, Krishna told them, the very first thing Krishna told the Vrijavasis is that, see, I have lifted the Govardhan Hill, all of you please come and take shelter. Don't be afraid that it will fall away. It won't fall, don't worry. I am holding it very firmly. So he assured them. But then the covered men were little afraid. So they were all holding with different sticks. That was out of spontaneous love for Krishna. He is our small Krishna, baby Krishna. How will he be able to hold? He is a 7-year-old boy. So better let us help him. And Krishna also wanted to play a trick with them. He wanted to show them that it is not by your support that the Govardhan is standing like this. It's because of my holding it. So you know what he did? He allowed it to slip for some time. When he did like this, then all the sticks, they fell on the ground and all of them became frightened. And again Krishna held it in position. So in this way, Krishna would reciprocate loving exchange with Vrijavasis. And Krishna used to have innumerable games with Shidama, Sudama, Madhumangala. When Krishna would want to go and steal butter in somebody's house, first of all he would go alone to get the butter. And sometimes it would be kept in the top, in the rafter, it would be very difficult to climb up. Then he would put some grinding mortar and try to climb up. It will be still high. Then he would think, now it's practically impossible. Let me call my friends. Then he would put it aside and clap hands, and all his friends would come running. And then Madhumangal, people would climb on the shoulder of other boys, one over another, like a pyramid, like they do the Hehandi, like that. And they would bring the butter down. And then Krishna would feed all his friends, one hand to each of them. At last he would also eat, and feed the monkeys also. In the meantime, when the gopis would come, then immediately all the friends would run away from there. And Krishna also would run away. Only Madhumangal would remain there. And Madhumangal, he has a transcendental body which has a transcendental lame body. So one may wonder, how can one have a shortcoming in a body in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, you should have a body that is complete in everything. How can one be lame in the spiritual world? How can someone have a polio attack or something like that in the spiritual world? That is certainly not possible. But to enhance the sweetness of the pastimes, the Lord sometimes makes such arrangements, wonderful arrangements in the spiritual world. So Lord would perform such pastimes with covered boys. They all simply played with him. They climbed on his shoulders. Any devotee would never dare to put his feet on the Lord's body. Who would do that? Isn't it? Like once when the Lord was having a headache, who approached? Narada approached, I think. He approached different sages and saints to get their dust particle, but none of them was ready to give except the gopis. Because nobody would dare to put their feet on the Lord's body. But the covered boys never fear. They climb on Krishna's body. They climb on Krishna's shoulder and say, "Now Krishna, run. Now you have lost the game. Now you have to run now." So Shirama would climb on Krishna's body. That is why sometimes for Sri Vaishnavas, this kind of pastimes are very difficult to accept. The Sri Vaishnavas, they accept Lord Vishnu as the Supreme, Narayana as the Supreme. They can never tolerate that somebody can climb on the Lord's shoulders. This is nonsense. How can somebody do that? Will you ever find Hanuman doing that? Hanuman climbing on Ram's shoulders? Or even putting his hands on Ram's shoulders, "So Ram, how are you?" You don't see that. But in Krishna Lila you find that. Of course, among Sri Vaishnavas also there are worshippers of Krishna like Andal. If you read Andal Tirupavai, that is spontaneous love. She is expressing spontaneous love in that, if you read that. So there are also worshippers of Krishna. If you see Venkata Bhatt and Gopalapati Goswami, they are from a Sri Vaishnava background who became great for Prabodhana Saraswati, uncle of Gopalapati Goswami. They all became very great followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they appreciated spontaneous love of Krishna along Krishna for his devotees in Vrindavan, like that. So generally this kind of intimate relationship exists with the Lord, and Arjuna also is certainly an intimate devotee. But then Lord shows his Aishwarya role, greatness, then a devotee immediately it's like removing the curtain of Yoga Maya. See, there is Mahamaya and there is Yoga Maya. Maya also has a meaning called energy. Mahamaya means the great material energy with which the Lord covers the mind of all the living entities and makes them think that they are the enjoyers. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkti prakriti janguna. All of us, we have forgotten Krishna totally. We don't know Krishna is my master. We are just running here and there. Krishna bulia, seji bhogavan chakare, trying to do bhog here and there. This is Mahamaya. And in the spiritual world, Lord has this Yogamaya potency, where the Yogamaya arranges such wonderful pleasurable pastimes for the Lord to exchange with his devotees. Krishna derives great joy when devotees consider him subordinate. Morning to night, the whole day, there are many, many pastimes Lord performs with gopis and gopas and cows and calves and everyone, like that. In the spiritual world, it's an eternal festival that keeps going on like that. So in Yogamaya, one is made to forget that Krishna is God. See, an atheist cannot accept Krishna as God, and the devotee in spontaneous love also cannot accept Krishna to be God. But these two are two diametrically opposite people. One does not see Krishna as God out of intense love for him. The other one does not see Krishna as God out of envy for him. Like that. So in the spiritual world, all the devotees of Krishna, they just see him as a child. Or they see him as the lover, as a friend. Like that. But sometimes Krishna removes his Yogamaya curtain for a short while. Due to which the devotee may immediately be plunged to the mood of on veneration. Lord did that with Dashadamai also once. Once when Dashadamai asked Krishna, "Show your mouth." He opened the mouth, she saw all the universes and all the planets and all the stars, and she immediately fell at Krishna's feet, started offering obeisances and offering prayers like that. Just like Arjuna is doing here. When Arjuna was shown the Vishwarupa darshan, immediately offered obeisances. And Lord thought, "What is this?" He didn't want this. And again he shows his Saumya Rupam. In the subsequent verses we will see Arjuna is requesting the Lord to show his Saumya Rupam, the sweet eternal form of Shyam Sundar, Rajendranandan. the Lord shows that form. In fact, Lord will say, this form, I am showing you this 200 form, this is Sudurdarsham. It's very, very rare form. Nobody can see it. Now, somebody may say, everyone is seeing it. Arjuna is seeing, Duryodhana is seeing, Karna is seeing. But still the Lord says this Shyamasundar form is a very, very rare form to see. Because people can see the Lord as Vishnu in the 400 form. And many other avatars the Lord come also. But this Krishna's form, even if you see it, it is very difficult to understand it. That is why the Lord says you can't see. Actual meaning of seeing means understanding. Otherwise there is no seeing. Like, you know, if you say that I am seeing the PM of India, first of all you have to know that he is the PM of India. If you know who is the Prime Minister, then you look at him, then accordingly you will behave with him, isn't it? If you don't know who a person is, then how will you behave with him properly? Duryodhana was also seeing Krishna, but how did he behave with Krishna? So you have no understanding. So, in this way, the Lord sometimes occasionally puts his devotee in this kind of aishwarya mood by revealing his nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always would behave with the Navadvip Vasis just like Nimaya Pandit. As Nimaya Pandit, they all loved him very much when he was in Navadvip Dham. But occasionally the Lord would show his supremacy to them. Very rarely. Even as a small child, he showed his supremacy. As when he was a small Nimai, once a snake came and he immediately ran to the snake and he started lying on the body of the snake exactly as Vishnu would lie in Anantashesh. And when Mother Sachi and all of them saw, they became frightened. They started calling for Garuda, Garuda, immediately, to protect the child from the snake. And when the snake heard the sound of the mother, the snake started running away from there. And the child was chasing after the snake. Because he said, "Hey Ananta, where are you going? I want to lie on your body. Come." He's going. So Lord sometimes would show his supremacy. Either as a child or even after, as he shows in Mahaprakash Leela, he sat on the throne of Vishnu and accepted all the worship from all the devotees. Similarly, Krishna deals with Arjuna always as a friend. He is riding the chariot and Arjuna is also happy about it. And he doesn't see him as God at all. But Lord sometimes shows his supremacy, not only for the sake of Arjuna. Arjuna doesn't have to be shown these things, but for the sake of the people of the world. Who are reading Bhagavad Gita, so that Arjuna can glorify Krishna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan and all that. So we can repeatedly recite these prayers and understand Krishna's supremacy. So first comes respect, then comes love. Without learning to respect Krishna as supreme, without having that reverence, without having that fine, respectful attitude towards Krishna, there is no possibility of developing spontaneous love. It's not possible. Just like if you consider a devotee to be very, very great and have a lot of respect for the devotee, like say a spiritual master, you have a lot of respect for him and you already have a lot of respect. Even by seeing his picture, you are bowing down, offering flowers to his feet, lotus feet, and offering prayers to him. And then if you get to see him personally, face to face, how will you feel? You will consider that to be the festival for your eyes. Such a great fortune to see him face to face. Such a transcendental personality walking on the surface of the globe. I am so fortunate, he belongs to the spiritual world, but he is walking for our sake. He has come to deliver me. If you have such a respect, and if that person says, "I want to come to your house and I want to do some kirtans," how will you feel? Then you will feel even more, your heart will be melted like that. So it begins with respect. In the same way, if you have respect for Krishna, by studying the Shastra like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that respect will gradually, from Vaidhi, we will come to the Raganuga stage. Spontaneous love. When the love becomes thickened, thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, the relationship will become very thick. Actually, I observed in my personal life also with devotees, the kind of relation gradually over the years, it becomes thicker. It doesn't happen overnight, but over a period of time, because we understand one another. It takes years to understand one another. It doesn't happen overnight. But first of all, even in love there should be respect. When we have respect for the devotee, then you will see that the love becomes really thicker and thicker like that. More and more and more like that. And that is really relishable to the heart. It really touches the heart. So in this way, Lord appreciates such a kind of gestures by his devotees is offered in thick, intense love for him. So this is such a wonderful verse. I'll read the translation again and we'll conclude. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you. O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. See, he says, Mat prama, maya pramadat pranayena vapi. The word pranaya is a very special word. Here the translation is, it's here, you see. Pramadat means out of foolishness, pranayana means out of love. Actually, it's not love, actually, it's even more than love. It's a very intimate word. The word pranaya is a very intimate word. Maya pramadat pranayena vapi, he says. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. So in this way, it's a very wonderful verse. Hare Krishna. Extra devotion. Uddhava, Arjuna and the Vrajavasis. We can check it again. In Subhadra is Yogamaya incarnation, then how can Arjuna have relation with Subhadra? Actually, if you see, even the Draupadi, she is born of fire. She is one Amsha incarnation of Goddess of Fortune. Personality is like that. Like Subhadra actually proper writes in that elevation to Krishna consciousness that Durga is actually coming from Subhadra. Says like that. Yeah. But all this, the Pandavas, the Pancha Pandavas, that relationship with Krishna is very unique. Actually, I have not heard of Goddess of Fortune marrying anybody, other than Lord Vishnu. Like you see her Rama coming out of the ocean of milk and she is only garlanding Vishnu. You see that. Similarly when Sati, she marries only Shiva, always. You see that. This is a unique thing we hear about Subhadra. She is incarnation, she is marrying Arjuna. Because this is Maya, no? Maya form. But you will never find the goddess of fortune like Sita or Lakshmi, you will never find it, yeah. Difficult to understand. Even Maya Sita goes to Ravana, no? Maya can be with anybody, no problem. Maya is Maya. Isn't it? But God of the person will never go. God of the person is only for the pleasure of the Lord. He is sister of Krishna. Krishna. Yeah. See, if you see, it is explained. That's why some people, when you say Jagannath Balgari Subhadra, Subhadra is actually sister of Krishna. And Durga Devi is also actually expansion of sister of Krishna. Yeah. That is why when Vishnu glances at Durga and impregnates all the souls, that glance is called as Shambhu. Because it is Shiva who impregnates Durga with all the souls from the spiritual world, not Vishnu. Because Vishnu is actually a brother of Durga. That is the relationship. Sri Vishnu has a respect. But they don't come to the stage of love. Actually, they also come to the stage of love. But the love they have for Ram or Vishnu is of a different nature. That love is impregnated with Aishwarya Bhav. Even if you compare Vasudeva and Devaki, if you compare them with Yashoda and Nanda, purpose is, Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate than Vasudeva and Devaki. Because they saw all the childhood pastimes of Krishna, and they were also in spontaneous love. Whereas if you see Vasudeva and Devaki, Devaki was fearful of Kamsa. If it was somebody else, like Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they wouldn't fear. But they were more fearful. And she offered obeisances. And you will never find Nanda Maharaj is offering obeisances to Devi Krishna. So that means it's a Aishwarya, it's called as Aishwarya Bhav. And for Yashoda, it's Aishwarya Shitila, it is said. That means, they don't have Aishwarya. The Vrajavasis don't have any Aishwarya Bhav. So there is comparison like that. So, devotees of Narayana, they love him in a particular mood. Like the devotees of Ram also, they love him in a particular mood. That is not called as inferior to the love that Krishna's devotees have for him. Because eternally in Vaikuntha, that is the kind of relation they have.
Everybody is in love in relation.
Everyone is in loving relation.
How the
All the rest of the Nirvana Vagana Mantra, yeah, that's correct.
Within that, Hanuman is not loving Rama, he has the ultimate love, but the thing is,
he is telling the example of Hanuman. Hanuman has a very intense love for Ram, but the way of expressing his love is of that nature, yeah. Correct. That's a correct understanding. He is asking, what was so special of Arjuna that he got that kind of friendship? Let me ask you a simple question. In your life, do you consider some people to be more intimate to you than others? Isn't it? Now, can you tell me the reason why do you consider so? Yeah? Same thing. So he said that I like them the way they are. Same thing with the Lord. Lord was a person like you. So he considered some people to be more intimate, some to be less intimate. Even in the spiritual world. The gopis are the most intimate. And even amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most intimate for the Lord. Similarly, amongst the gopas, Lord has most intimate friends. Yeah. And that's Lord's prerogative as the Supreme Person. Yeah. And it's called Gaurava Sakya, yeah. So I will clarify this point about, it's called Gaurava Sakya. Arjuna has Gaurava Sakya relation. Gaurava Sakya means, there is Sakyata, but it is not like the Vijabhasis. I will clarify this point of Uddhava, Arjuna, Vajrasis. We don't have to speculate about he told less or more, so Uddhava is less or Arjuna is more. We have to find out from Acharyas what they say. Because you know, when I hear the past tense of Uddhava and Arjuna with Krishna, they both look alike almost. Almost same amount of intimacy they have. We can only know from the Acharyas, you know, who is on which platform. You know. If any of you have read that Arjuna is superior to Uddhava, you know, and Vrijabhasis are superior to Arjuna, you know, then that is understood. I read it somewhere. There must be in Nectar of Devotion somewhere, but I can check it again. Yeah. But Krishna Shri Prabhu says that in Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita he read Uddhava is superior to Arjuna.
After Brahma,
Shiva, Prahlada, Pandava, we can Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita it must be
there.
Yes, Vrijabhasi. That Arjuna is not this Arjuna. He is a Vrijabhasi Arjuna. Oh, that is not this. No, no, no. That's different. He is saying about another Arjuna. And yeah, that is different, yeah. Yeah. Has a unique relationship with every individual. So, in one of the five rasas. In what way is he equal? So, we talk about the samatha, equality, because Krishna's mercy is equally available to all. Just like the sunlight is equally available to all. The moonlight is available to everyone. Moon doesn't say, you know, this is a poor man's house, so I want to show my light in his veranda. And this is a big man's bungalow, rich man, so I will give my light. Moon doesn't say that. Sun or moon, actually they give light for everyone equally. Like that, Krishna's mercy is available for everyone. In that sense, it's equal. Nobody needs to consider oneself less fortunate. Everyone is equally fortunate. It all depends on how we surrender in order to gain access to that mercy. He's asking, it appears that he's more inclined to some people, and that this was the subject matter last week. We were talking. He was telling, you know, that Prabhupada was telling about how we are all like receptacles, and different receptacles receive different amounts of mercy. Like a stone, for example, in front of the sun may not shine, but a diamond shines. Is it right? So depending on the receptacle, the mercy appears to be more manifest or less manifest. So we have to make our receptacle proper for receiving that mercy. Thank you very much. Respect dominant in Raghavanuga Bhakti? No, in Raghavanuga Bhakti, actually the respect becomes very, the respect turns into love in Raghavanuga Bhakti actually. One in Vaidhi Bhakti we have to perform like that. When you go to Raghavanuga Bhakti, one will be able to experience the transcendental humor of Krishna with the gopis and gopas and everything. These things will be revealed in the heart of a devotee. In that stage, a person sees Krishna like a friend. Or like a child, or like a lover, even in Raghavanuga stage. Raghavanuga stage is a still apprentice stage. But Bhava is a very advanced stage, beyond that. So, Vaidhi Bhakti, Raghavanuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. Like that one will ascend. Yeah. So, next class I will clarify this Uddhava point. I will go through it and come back. Yeah. It's likely that I could be wrong, because I had some faint remembrance of reading it somewhere.